Welcome to Independence, the FIEC podcast. My name is Joel Murray. I'm the Communications and Media Officer at FIEC, and I'm joined today online by Philip Venables. Hi, Philip.
Hi, Joel. Good to be with you.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for your time. You're from Feltham Evangelical Church. Can you tell us a bit about where is Feltham? Where is the church? What's the church like?
Always easiest explaining that we're close to Heathrow Airport. Okay. People generally know where we are then. We are a mixed church in so many ways, mixed ethnicity, mixed ages. Privilege to be here. Church has been here many years. In fact, we're just around about this time celebrating 60 years of our present building and being on our present site. So we're acknowledging the goodness of the Lord with that. And so we have quite a mixed church in so many ways, and thankful to the Lord for bringing us here.
Yeah. And what's the kind of area where the church is? What's that like? Is it families, or is it a little town, or what's the kind of area that you're serving?
Well, we're in a London borough. Historically, probably going back 20 years and beyond that, it would be a very much a white London suburb. That's changed radically over the last years. So very much a mixed area now, with people from all over the world. A residual white community, if I use that terminology, but very much a mixed in so many different ways. Yeah.
That's good. It helps. I was trying to figure out whereabouts you guys are. It says Middlesex on our website, and it's kind of within the M25.
That's
west
right.
of London ish, something like that. Yeah, that's good. On the website for Feltham Evangelical Church, it's really encouraging to see the kind of ministries that you have listed there. So things for those who are mourning, a course for parents, a course like a marriage counseling course, just a ministry to help people to listen in. And it's really, really great to see that it's all very clear and open, that it's Bible-based as well.
Yeah.
So it's not kind of like trying to sneak it in there or anything like that. I did notice one that in particular that was called Everyone Must Know. And we'll put a little link on the show notes. There's a really nice video. I think it's of yourself with your voice and some kind of animated wording and stuff like that, to talk about the gospel, basically, and a way to send it through. Can you tell us a little bit about that kind of project, Everyone Must Know? What's that involved?
That would have originated around about 5-6 years ago, with a desire that everyone in the Feltham area must know the gospel. So it was based around this leaflet, this Everyone Must Know leaflet, which gave a short, concise gospel message, seeking to be very direct. We translated that into a number of languages, and as you say, there's the video. And at the time when the project was really being pushed, we had a map up in the church building, which was basically our parish, if you use that terminology, wanting to cover that area with the distributing of that leaflet. And as I say, we had it translated into a number of languages. So probably it was really active around about 2018-19. We still have the leaflets available, and we're still giving away a lot of those leaflets, and we go out with evangelism.
Great. And has that had an impact kind of over the years? Have you been able to kind of move things on with anyone that you'd be able to reach through that?
I think it's one of those things whereby it has an impact in the church. It has an impact to stir people to look outside. So some of these things are perhaps not fully tangible in outward results, but they inculcate a certain culture into the life of the church. We are an outward-looking church. We want to develop that thinking amongst us. I'm not going to say here, Joel, I can say specifically somebody got that leaflet and somebody has come in and been converted. I'm not saying that. But I think it's more to do with the culture and getting out into Feltham and making Feltham aware that we are here and wanting to be here for God.
Yeah, that's really helpful, that Jesus has called each one of us to share the gospel, and that culture is really important then. Otherwise, yeah, it can feel quite a lonely, difficult job. But yeah, as a church, that sounds really great. Mm. Yeah, and the leaflet says on the website this, translated into various different languages, written down here, Hungarian, Polish, Romanian, Russian, Spanish, Korean, Urdu. It's really great to see all of those different languages for the various people as that London area becomes more and more multicultural and diverse. Leads us on to the entry that Feltham Evangelical Church has in our Pray for 100 guide. So that's kind of why we're talking today, especially. People who are watching on the screen, I've got the guide here, Pray for 100. It's 100 different initiatives at churches from FIC across the whole of Britain. And the idea is to be able to pray for one another, to get inspiration, to see what God is doing. Number 32 I've got here is Feltham Evangelical Church, Middlesex. Feltham Church, like many churches, has seen an influx of asylum seekers. They want to make sure that they make the most of this opportunity to make disciples of all nations. Pray for wisdom and plans that will further this ministry, and above all, for salvation and growing faith. So, yeah, immigration and asylum seekers is quite big. It's big news at the moment. But it's really encouraging. It's good to see that you're seeing it as an opportunity, not kind of something that's in, yeah, various kind of different opinions that people have about it. It's an opportunity for it. It reminded me, we did a couple of podcast episodes a couple of years ago with Eddie Arthur, who serves with Wycliffe Bible Translators, who's talking about world mission and that kind of great commission to go out to the ends of the earth with the gospel. And he was saying, well, the ends of the earth are coming here now. They're coming to our doorstep. So that job has kind of changed to a certain point, or maybe the perception of it has kind of changed. So, you guys have noticed the asylum seekers that are coming into the area. When did you kind of start to notice this, that the asylum seekers were arriving in Feltham? What's that look like for you on the ground?
Well, it looks like a specific date, and the date is December the 9th, 2021, when I was sat down at the church building with somebody, and that evening at around about 5 o'clock on a Thursday evening, two men walked in, and it was December, it was dark, and two Iranian men walked in, Ehsan and Mahan. So that was our first contact. We were not aware that hotels in the area had been taken over for the use by the Home Office for Refugees. So everything really started there, Joel, with those two men. They'd been introduced to us by somebody who had an online ministry with Iranians. And everything really started there. Within a month, we had a very significant number initially of Iranians, and then from the end of December 2021, Central Americans. Again, mainly people from El Salvador. And that it's those two groups that we have primarily had our ministry among. The Iranian group was a significant number right at the beginning. After about 6 months, that's diminished. We do still have a contact with Iranians. In fact, one of the Iranians was baptized last month. Main ongoing ministry has been with the Central Americans, and there's still a contingent. So if I think recently, there would still be somewhere around about 20, 25 Central Americans amongst us.
Wow, fantastic! How you mentioned it's an opportunity that you've seen there to make disciples of all nations. How does that kind of fit into your church vision, in terms of the normal church ministry that you have at Feltham Evangelical Church? Where does that making disciples of all nations fit in, and how have this arrival of refugees changed that and been involved in that?
Yeah, if I backtrack a little bit, I'll backtrack to when we came out of the first lockdown, actually, which would be when we held our first service in situ back in the building. So I'm going back to July 2020 here. And the message we had on that occasion was Matthew 28, that we're gathering to worship, and we're going out to witness. And that great calling upon the church we want to lay hold of the Great Commission calling to go and make disciples. So this ministry came to us suddenly. We had no anticipation of this ministry. It's not as if we knew the people were coming. We suddenly had, you know, we're not a vast church. We are now around about 34 members. So we're not a vast church, and suddenly we had a very significant number of people. So what are we to do? Well, we are a gospel church. We are a Great Commission church. And so the fundamental desire is to bring the word of God to these people, to bring the gospel to these people. So it was an exciting development. So in a sense, our ministry has been two-pronged. The fundamental spiritual desire to be reaching out with the gospel, bringing the word of God, to seeing people established through the word in Christ. And alongside that is the very practical ministry of helping them, of seeking to support them. And in a beautiful kind of way in the life of the church, my interests would be primarily seeking to get the word of God into their lives as much as we could. But there are others in the church who've had a real interest in helping them practically. And one sister in the church in particular has in her work situation is connected with helping people in need, particularly from a refugee kind of background, and our heart is very much for that. So it's been a beautiful way in which things have melded together in the life of the church. So one of the things we've had, it was existing before this ministry. We got a table for basically for people to bring stuff they don't want, and then for people look at it and take what they want. Well, that's just mushroomed, but it's been a great thing for a lot of the asylum seekers who arrive here with basically nothing. So if I pick up the situation and break in, Joel, if you want to, as regards to any specifics here, but yeah. With regard to the ministry, as I mentioned, there's two different groups, and the particular thing that matters, I think, perhaps from our discussion, is that the Iranian group came, I think, we pretty well, not exactly everyone, but the vast majority of them came because they were making some Christian profession. And therefore, okay. Iran being what it is, and there were a lot of stories of, you know, attending house groups. The police became aware of them, and there was a raid, and they fled. That's something of the story, and somehow ended up in the UK. But the Central American, very different. Their background is the gangs, extortion, intimidation. You know, if you don't pay, we'll start shooting your family, kind of thing. So right. They fled from that. So there's two distinct, we might say, spiritual backgrounds. So with regard to the Iranians, we tried to start going. As seizing the opportunity, one of the issues here is suddenly you've got people with time on their hands. Now, I feel generally we're ministering in our situation here, and people haven't got a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah.
Suddenly you've got people with time on their hands, and you think, opportunity. So we started a Bible study with the Iranians, first of all. Started going through Mark's gospel. Happily, pretty well always, although I did not recruit a translator amongst them, pretty well always there was somebody there when we were doing these studies, which were in early 2022 through to the middle of 2022. There was always somebody there who could translate to a degree. Obviously, you trusted that they were translating reasonably what I was saying.
Yeah.
So that was one ministry. We'd have a lot of them coming on a Sunday morning. I'm a bit wary of overstating these things because the numbers were pretty big at one time. You know, for our little enterprise, you know, we talk about perhaps 40 Iranian men there sometimes. And how did we adapt to that? One thing I would say at this point, Joel, I am not speaking into this situation as an expert. I'm speaking into this situation as many sort of we're working it out as we go kind of thing.
Yeah, sure.
So we started to have the Bible reading in their language. So Farsi and Spanish. So that part of the service. As we've gone along, what we have sought to do is to do a basic outline of the message and have it translated into their language so that they have something to go at as regards to understanding what is happening in the church. We've done some specific things for them, particularly the beginning of last year around about March time, where we had a meal, we celebrated Iranian New Year, gave them the opportunity to do that, and had somebody come in who would actually preach in their own language. We had that both for the Iranian group and the Spanish-speaking group. So those are some of the things we've sought to work with. Mm. Particularly with the Spanish ongoingly, we've given them opportunity to have the building so that they can cook some of their food. And, you know, there's a sense in which they've really appreciated that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really remarkable that it's something that's just not planned whatsoever. Maybe 5-6 years ago, before lockdown times, this might not have necessarily been a thought of or a plan into the future. Yeah. And it's just appeared, hasn't it? And you've kind of tried to figure out what the Lord has brought to your doorstep.
Yeah, and I think really wanted to be aware that the Lord has trusted us with this. We've got to rise up. And overall, very pleased with how the church has risen up. Certainly not without its challenges, like our bring and share meals, for example. Suddenly, you've got a vast number of people there. That's just one.
Yeah.
That's just one example. But really conscious, feeling the Lord has given us this ministry. We've got to rise up and we've got to seek to respond to this opportunity. It's no good as saying, well, Lord, we wish you'd brought us some. We're here for you, but actually we wish you'd brought some other people. These are the people the Lord has brought us. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really great. And I suppose there may be some people as well who are different churches who are thinking about, they might have similar asylum seekers that have moved in, whether it's a hotel or something maybe smaller. We've heard about other stories from other churches in different places around the country that had exactly that. And I suppose it can be quite a intimidating, overwhelming experience. Oh my goodness, how are we going to be able to manage? How can we reach these people that we want to do so? And something just as simple as having a Bible reading by a Spanish speaker or a Farsi speaker, I think is really good, just to be able to draw people in, to help them feel like they're welcome, that they're part of the church, and that this message is for them as well. I think that's really nice.
I think just picking up that, Joel, it was the significant numbers. One thing we did, just as at the beginning, even in respect to some of the practicalities like taking the Lord's Supper, we basically said right at the beginning, because we couldn't really work out where everybody is at en masse, we just basically said to everybody, don't take up the Lord's Supper. We said to all of them. Now, whether that was the best thing to do, but that's what we said right at the beginning.
Mm. Yeah, it's good. It's good as well to be open and honest about expectations in that sense, I suppose, as well.
Yeah.
It's great to hear that some of those Iranians were actually coming to the church of their own accord in the first instance, and some have come to be baptized. Can you tell us any more kind of encouragements like that?
Yeah. With the Iranians, that ministry really in the first 6 months, primarily of last year, we baptized 12 of them at the end of May last year.
Wow.
May 29th, we baptized 12 of the Iranians. And as I say, we mentioned baptized a further sister last month. That was a voyage in the life of the church, because you're having to work out. You hear stories, you know, they're just here to get some, you know, that they're using the Christian label to get status in the country.
Right. Sure.
And you've got to be aware that they're not just, you know, spinning a yarn to get access into some of the privileges, like being baptized. So that was sort of something to work out in the life of the church, you know, different streams in the life of the church. Some people saying, oh, we got to be very wary. And others saying, well, they've come here as Christians. They've been through so much. Well, we must baptize them. You know, those are working through those kind of issues. In the end, we baptized 12 of them. As far as I'm aware, and all of those 12 would still be connecting with church and still be making a good profession of knowing the Lord. All of them have moved on from us now. And that's been, as well, one of the, dare I say, delightful things of the ministry. In one sense, it's been a demanding thing, but and that is the passing of these people on to other churches. You want them to go to other churches that are going to be wholesome to them. And really, there's been a dispersion around the country to different places. And it's been good to have fellowship with those, with other churches, and to seek to be in touch so that they could, these men could be cared for. And the other Central Americans as well, as they've been dispersed as well. So that's been a nice aspect of the ministry, to link in with other churches.
Yeah, that sounds like a really nice church partnership to be able to kind of go ahead. Were you kind of trying to arranging for somewhere for them to go to when they found out where they might be moving on to?
That's right, yeah. And sometimes that was easier than others. Sure. Because and sometimes an evangelical Anglican was the most accessible place. Yeah. Sometimes it's FIEC churches. Those be mainly where they would go. I think perhaps one or two other places as well. But that varies across the country. Certain parts of the country, the evangelical churches are a bit more sparse, should I say.
Sure. Yeah that's right. Mm. Yeah, that's a great gospel partnership. If there are other people who are listening who are maybe a few steps behind where you guys are, where they're realizing there are refugees coming into the area, and they want to seek them out, and they want to be able to reach them and to share the good news of Jesus with them, but they don't quite know how. What kind of advice do you think you might be able to offer them from the things that you'd be able to learn?
Yeah, as I mentioned already, Joel, I really would always want to say, do not feel an expert
mm-hmm. in That's this. Fine.
We stumbled through. In many ways, as I say, the ministry came to us. Mm. We weren't given English-speaking people, so we had to try and work that through with Google Translate, etc., etc. Yeah. So if I say it was people starting to connect with us and showing an interest in people, and really that drew a lot of other people. I think that's simply showing an interest right from the beginning. So that's probably something I would say, seeking to perhaps show some adaptation so as to seek to include them without mutilating your structure where you are at the moment. But I wonder, we could have done more with regard to those things. So perhaps those things, and remembering as well the fundamentals of the Great Commission, to bring the Word of God, to believe God working through His Word. And as I say, I trust it was the Lord's goodness that even in our Bible studies, pretty well always there's been, I've never recruited somebody specifically to translate, but there's always been, perhaps once or twice when it's not happened, but there'll always be somebody to help with the translation. But yeah. I suppose just that opportunity to bring the Word and to realize These people have got time on their hands. And again, I don't think necessarily we have taken advantage of that as much as we might have done, but we can't do everything. Mm-hmm. We have limited time, limited resources. We did get quite a few, particularly from the Iranian point of view, quite a few Bibles in to start off with, and other literature as well, particularly from the Farsi end of things. We got Spanish Bibles, so we seek to distribute those as well. So we tried to make contacts and get material in that would be advantageous for the ministry. So that's some things to mention. As I say, with the parallel aspect of the work here, blessed with those who got involved with from a practical point of view, various ones getting involved from the church from a practical point of view. Mm-hmm. And obviously the people really appreciated that. There was thing they could, there was somebody who would, people who would give them advice as regards to, yeah, some of the issues of being in this country, and also some of the issues of what, how their applications might be processed.
Yeah, that's great. And I suppose part of that advice might just be that we aren't all experts at this, and it's quite new in history for all these people from around the world coming to this country anyway. So Yeah, know your limitations is an important thing.
Yeah. And one thing I've said to the people, said to particularly the, wanted to be aware of in the church and generally is, we are a church in England, and we are a church that use English as our language, but I don't want us to be an English church.
Yeah.
You know, I want us to be, this is a church for everybody. Hmm. And perhaps that's easier said than done as regards to adapting your culture to mm-hmm. to include everybody. Yeah.
And also, I suppose, with the everyone must know, and also this part, as people come and go, it's quite a transient thing. They're kind of asylum seeking. It might just be a step along the way that we reach people, and it's another couple of letters along the alphabet. We can't get from A to Z every single time, but actually just being able to step out and take that opportunity could have a ramification down the line.
Yeah, I think, Joel, if you enter this kind of ministry, but perhaps again prepared for it to a degree, because being in West London, you've got a transitory population anyway. But if you think you're investing in somebody's life so that they'll be a pillar of the church for the next 30 years, and you'll only invest in them if you know that that's going to be the case, well, in a sense, you're sunk in a situation like we are here, because you just don't know how long you're going to have people for. And it's seizing that opportunity as the Lord would give it to you.
Unfortunately, we lost connection with Philip. Couldn't get it back on again, but I did manage to speak to him on the phone about how churches can partner with him in prayer going forwards. He asked for the Lord's work to make disciples to continue to use the church to do that. He asked for a prayer to help integrate those asylum seekers that come into the church with the other church membership, to get that integration to be fruitful and healthy. It's something to pray for. And finally, just for further contact into those hotels that are still filling up, still many asylum seekers who are being moved into those hotels as their application goes through. There's a hotel of 800 people there that they wish to reach. So we can pray for that. Let me pray for Feltham Evangelical Church right now. Father God, we thank you for bringing all of these people to the doorstep of Feltham Evangelical Church from Iran, from El Salvador, from other places around the world. We praise you for your wisdom in bringing the ends of the earth to the UK in situations like this. And we thank you for Feltham Evangelical Church and how they've stepped up to take that opportunity to serve those people, to share with them the good news of Jesus. We praise you for those who've come into the church fellowship, who've professed faith, who've been baptized. And we pray that you would help them to further integrate into the church, that it would be a true reflection of your family, of your church in this world. We pray that you would help them as they seek to further make contact with people who are in those hotels, from various different places. You pray that you'd give them wisdom, you'd open doors for them to be able to reach them with the gospel, and that your kingdom would grow through this. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you to Philip for his time to share with us. Thank you for you for listening as well, or watching. Hope you found this helpful and inspiring. If you did enjoy it, then please do share. If you didn't, then you can share as well. Leave a message, leave a comment, leave a rating or review. That'd be really helpful. We'd appreciate that. And we hope to see you or hear you again next time.